until midnight. This is Perth Tonight with Chris Ilsley.
And welcome to Perth Tonight Spotlight. Now, I did mention we'll be having a chat to Susie DiMarchi, and you might be thinking, I've heard that name, but to what do I attribute it? Let's give you a little musical reminder. Baby Animals, featuring Susie DiMarchi, who is a lead singer, who also grew up here in Perth and joins us for this month's Perth Tonight Spotlight. Susie, thank you so much for talking to us.
Pleasure, Chris.
Where do we find you living these days?
I'm in Sydney. Been back here about 4 years, I think.
Tell us a bit about your life growing up in Perth as a young girl.
We had a pretty idyllic childhood. We didn't have much, but we had a simple life. We lived near the beach and we spent most of our days at the beach, and it was just a really laid-back, happy childhood. I was really lucky in that way, you know, great family.
Which was your favourite beach, by the way?
Probably Triggs, but then, you know, I gravitated a little bit more towards Scarborough, and then, you know, as I got older, it was City Beach.
Started to move south.
But Triggs, I think, yeah, I love Triggs. You know, Triggs is kind of the place where we went to all the beaches, but yeah. I think, but my dad was a surf lifesaver at Cottesloe when he was growing up. So we also spent quite a bit of time there.
Was music something in which you were interested in from an early age, or did you start off as somebody who listened to music and then started to get an interest in performing music?
Well, it was weird because how I fell into music was a lark, really. I went for an audition, but before that, my brother's record collection was pretty much what my introduction into the rock world. Before that, it was my mum, who was a great singer, an incredible singer, and she was always singing around the house. So we were always surrounded by song, and my sister, Denise, she learnt the guitar. And so when she came home from her lessons, I would sort of pick her brains for what she'd learnt, because we couldn't really afford to both get lessons, but I was happy just learning bits and bobs from what she'd learnt, and she was always a lot better than me, but I used to really like the idea of being able to accompany yourself when it's a really great thing to have an instrument that you can, you know, it's just, for kids especially, it's just, you can throw yourself into that kind of world, and it's creative, and yeah, I don't know, I was a big daydreamer.
Sounds to me like music, beach and fun was a bit of your life when you were growing up.
Kind of is now still, really, although the beach not so much, because I'm really burn easily.
Oh, yeah, well, that happens. When you were we all know about that, trust me. When you were at school, did you ever have a teacher say to you, listen, don't worry about the music, just focus on your studies a bit more?
Because probably.
When people are successful, you find that the thing in which they were greatly successful is the thing that somebody somewhere along the line tried to discourage them from pursuing, you know?
Oh, yeah. But when I was at school, I wasn't necessarily decided on that as a career. I was pretty much always a bit of a show person. Like, I liked the idea of getting on stage. But it wasn't until I was in my first band at 17 that I discovered that I loved it, and that was my calling, and that was what I was going to do for the rest of my life, pretty much. That was it.
When you were at school, did you ever have another occupation, like I want to be
any time? I was like a sports kid. I was just mad, little athletics. I loved tennis. I always wanted to be a famous tennis player. I used to, like, play totem tennis in my backyard for hours and hours and interview myself, and my mum would bust me interviewing myself. And I was always a famous tennis player. I remember talking to Pat Cash about that, because he used to come to our shows a bit, and he'd say, I just want to be in a rock band, and I'd say, well, I just want to be a bloody tennis player. <You know? laughs> Yeah. They're fairly similar things, I think, in a way.
Now, you talked about falling into a band, and because that's the term that you used. Once you realised you loved it, where did you go from there? Because obviously you've locked into the music, you've focused on that, so how did you chase your dream?
I just took one step after the next, basically. I mean, I joined this band, Photoplay, and stayed with them for 2 years, and they were an original band. But we also did a lot of covers, but we played all the time. I mean, we used to play probably every night in Perth in those days. You could play all the time. There's gigs everywhere. And we'd sometimes do 3 shows a day. Like, we'd do the university on a Friday lunchtime show. And then we'd do, like, the Stockade pub gig, 3 sets. And then we'd go pack up and go do Blazers or something for 3 sets. So constantly working. And after 2 years of that, I was pretty burnt out. But then by doing that, I started writing. I didn't write much in that band, but I did start writing. And then I met some people that had lived in England for 20 years before that, and they were living in Perth, moved back to Perth, and they hooked up with me and asked if I'd like to write with them. And through them, I got a record deal with EMI in the UK. You know, I went to live in London for 4 years. It was basically just you push yourself, you do that one thing that you're really kind of not sure where you're going to go, but you just do it. And then you just take another road, wherever, whatever pops up. I've always done that. I've always lived my life that way. You know, just do something, see where it goes.
So you've always been a what will be kind of person.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Baby Animals, I take it they came out of this meeting?
No. So then the record deal with EMI did. I was solo. Like, they signed me as a solo artist.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd left Photoplay. I went to live in London. They wanted me to do this pop thing. And I wasn't really interested in doing that. I recorded a bit when I was there. I made a few singles and I worked with some great people and partied a lot for 4 years. I really didn't have much music to show for it. But while I was living in London, a good friend of mine, Mark Lazotte, Diesel, was playing over there, and I went to see them play and I met John Woodruff. And Mark said, you guys should meet. And I had a whole bunch of demos, you know, and I ended up spending a lot of time talking to John Woodruff, who then offered me some help to get back to Australia. And he offered me some help to put the band together because I had no money. I had nothing really at that point. So after 4 years in London, I decided I needed to really get my act together. And I moved back. I came via Perth. I picked up Frank Salenza, who I'd played with for a while in another band, and then went straight to Sydney and started auditioning for the other people in the band. So it was really another step.
How did you get a record deal for the Baby Animals?
I got a deal through these guys that I had spent a lot of time. I worked for about a year with them writing. We wrote a bunch of songs, we demoed them up, and we sent them to David Munns, who was the head of EMI in the UK at that time. And I got a manager over there through them. And basically, you know, through those demos, I got a deal. Just went for it. I just kept writing, kept working. And then, yeah, it was pretty mad, actually. I mean, I don't do that anymore.
I suppose when you're younger, it's always easier to do those kind of things, though, isn't it? And were you really driven? Were you absolutely determined at that point that you were going to get a contract? Did you listen to the music and say, this is really good, I reckon people are going to go for this?
No, not at that point. I was really surprised. I was actually a bit of a deer in the headlights. I kind of just went along with a lot of it. It was a really good record deal. I mean, it was a lot of money. It was a lot of, you know, we'll pay for you to come out here. I had no idea. I mean, I really didn't. The songs weren't that good. You know, there was a couple of good ones, but they really weren't that good. Musically, I wasn't in any shape to do anything with it. You know, I kind of wasn't mature enough to do anything with it. You know, I went along with it and I had a great time. But it wasn't until I came back to Australia and started the Baby Animals was when I was really driven. I mean, there was zero movement from me about what we were going to do. So it was just really very direct. Purpose. I had a real purpose with this band. I knew exactly what I wanted and how I wanted it to sound, and I knew who the people I wanted around me were going to be, and with the help of Woodruff, we made that happen and worked really, really hard at that point.
Yeah. And you got the feeling that you always produced the sound that you wanted with the Baby Animals?
Yeah, I knew like, I wanted it to be guitar-based and guitar-driven because that was what I grew up with, that sort of rock guitar-based bands, and that's always what I loved, and I'd always gone back to that kind of stuff because that's what I grew up listening to in Perth, going to see bands like the Rockets, and I loved that sort of just sweaty punk kind of heart and soul music.
Well, what sort of music, if you went out and bought records or tapes, as we would have done when we were kids, what bands were you buying?
You know, I loved The Sweet, and I loved Blondie, I loved Bowie, I loved Zeppelin. You know, all that sort of English rock I was really into. Free and Paul Rogers, he was probably the most influential singer for me. I loved The Pretenders, I loved The Police, all those great bands. And then I really got into the really some more darker kind of the Gun Club and bands like that, and The Cure, and you know, that sort of 80s.
Was there any one of those bands that had a real influence on what ultimately became the Baby Animals, or do you think they were really an act all by themselves?
We all had our separate influences, which were quite similar. You know, we all quite liked the same stuff, although I was probably a little bit more left stuff that I listened to, like the Pixies, and you know, I listened to a little bit more indie stuff, probably, and then the guys were a bit more traditional, but we're very similar kind of musical tastes, so it was a combination of all of those things that made the Baby Animals sound the way that they sound, I think.
To be successful, do you think you had to like the music you played, or do you think you just had to play music that people would like?
No, you have to like it first. I really didn't care if people... I was never, and I still don't, I've never written anything for anybody else. I have to like it first. Because otherwise, if you're going up there every night singing all this stuff, you have to love it. People can see straight through that. That's my opinion, and all the bands that I love are really passionate players. You can see it, you can hear it, and you can feel it. So, no, it's always got to come from your heart.
Now, Susie, just to wrap up, as you look back on your life so far, mm-hmm. I kind of think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Has it been a fun trip?
It's been incredible. If I did look back, you know, I always said with Baby Animals, once we kind of went through the motions of being a band, and that if I never did anything else again, you know, I would have been happy with that. You know, we've been happy with what we did and what we achieved as a group, not just sales or anything like that, but just actually putting a record out. Just putting a record out it's an achievement. So I'm happy with all that. We had a really great time and we're still having a great time. And, you know, I don't want that to end. And if it makes you happy and I'm still happy doing it and I can still do it, I'm gonna keep doing it.
Oh, I've got to love that. Susie DiMarchi, thank you so much for joining us on Perth Tonight Spotlight.
Thanks, Chris. Pleasure.